now you're right. So we're starting with the equity method. I give the floor to Michelle Sansbury.
Thank you. Good morning. We would like to discuss the next steps in the equity method project accounting with the board, agenda paper 26. And staff is recommending that the board defers the work on the equity method research project until the post-implementation reviews of IFRS 10 consolidated financial statements, IFRS 11 joint arrangements and IFRS 12 disclosure of interest in other entities are undertaken. We are recommending that the post-implementation reviews specifically seek feedback on the investors' information needs regarding the investments that are accounted for using the equity method, and that following this input, the board reconsiders the scope of the equity method project. The reasons that we are making this recommendation in the agenda paper are for two reasons. One, the lack of support for the proposals, and secondly, the results from the agenda consultation. The board will recall that in June 2015, it gave us permission to undertake a limited scope research project. We tested some of these simplification processes with the Accounting Standards Advisory Forum. The ASAF were not supportive of our proposals. By coincidence, the FASB were also looking at simplifying the equity method of accounting, and in June 2015, they published proposals that were similar to the proposals that we discussed with ASAF. The FASB have now considered the feedback on its ED, and last week it decided to remove the equity project from its active agenda on the view that there is insufficient support to change the equity method of accounting at this time. In relation to the agenda consultation and the investor survey, overall respondents viewed the project as being more important than urgent, and this suggests that the board does not need to respond quickly. However, respondents had mixed views on what the scope of the project should be, whether there should be a limited scope project looking at application issues or a much wider scope project that addressed when the equity method should be used. There was slightly more interest in the project from the Asia region than when compared to Europe. In relation to the investor survey responses, there were few responses, and what was shown was that there were diverse views among the investors about the usefulness of the information. Given the mixed views, we do not think that the agenda consultation provides a clear path for the project direction. In view of the feedback on the limited scope proposals and the lack of clear direction from the agenda consultation, we set out in paragraphs 45 to 58 of the agenda paper four possible approaches for the board to consider. The first was to continue with the limited research project. However, this seems unlikely to be successful given the feedback that we've already received. Secondly, we considered whether we should undertake some outreach with investors and then reconsider the scope of the limited research project. But we're not sure that this would really move us further forward, and we would still have the risk that the project would not be successful. We considered whether we should start a full research project on the equity method. However, the board is likely to undertake the post-implementation reviews in the near future, and it seemed questionable whether we should allocate staff resources to a full research project when we were so close to post-implementation reviews on closely related subjects. Finally, we suggested that as part of the post-implementation review, we gather information about these types of investment and the investor information needs. Once we have gathered this information as part of the post-implementation review, we suggest reconsidering the scope of the equity method project. Does the board have any comments on our recommendation?
So can I ask how much work has been done on this in the last months or a year, I don't know.
Well, last June we came to the board and then we put some proposals together. We discussed them with some of the national standard setters and we took them to ASAF, and then following that we deferred the work.
So not much?
No, not much, because we made the decision following the ASAF that we should wait until the agenda consultation feedback.
In that case, I think your suggestion is very sensible.
Yeah.
Sue?
I think the suggestion's sensible as well, given where we are. But just one sort of question. Some people suggested that we do a post-implementation review of IS 28. And as we've discussed, I think, last month, it's certainly open to us to do a post-implementation review of, you know, older standards if we wanted to. So do you think, so I presume that what we're trying to do by using the post-implementation review of 10, 11 and 12 is sort of looking at the context within which equity accounting is used and what that tells us in terms of what the sort of objectives of it should be. But do we think there would be any benefit in also doing a post-implementation review of IAS 28 as part of that bundle so we have more information on the mechanics of 28? Or do we actually think we... Or do we not suggest that because the staff thinks we've already sort of got enough information about what the trouble is with the mechanics, and maybe the piece of information we're missing is more the context and what that might mean?
I think it's the context and the information needs that are now the problem rather than the mechanics, because I think we do have quite a lot of feedback on the mechanics.
I thought that, but I just wanted to confirm that.
Yeah, can I just add to that? I'd agree. I think we've got a lot of information about difficulties with the equity method through issues that have come to the Interpretations Committee. I think the thing that the PIR will tell us that will be new will be about the use of the equity method being used more in the context of joint arrangements, particularly joint ventures. Obviously, that is a change under IFRS 11 compared with IAS 31 in that there is more use of the equity method. And I think that'll be new information that we'll get through the PIR.
I agree with where you've got. I think it's an important project because I think it's a bit embarrassing to have a method which we know has sort of got so many issues with it, but I don't think it's really urgent.
Stephen?
But the problem with focusing on 10, 11, 12 is I'm not sure it's going to get us any further forward in terms of the problems with the mechanics. I agree the context, that's fine, but isn't the problem with 28 the mechanics of equity accounting? So how are we going to deal with that as part of the PIR unless we specifically scope in 28 and the mechanics?
I think we're going to have to specifically scope into questions, and what we need to do between now and when we do the post-implementation is work out what those questions are. And I think one of the points that came through the agenda consultation was that the application of the equity method has been widened. So we've now got joint ventures, and we've got it used in separate financial statements for consolidated entities. And I think there's a question that we need to ask in the PIR about, is it appropriate in all of those circumstances, or should we be looking to have different disclosures or different reliefs given depending on the nature of the investment? And I think that's the important point that we would need to I think there is some work to be done in working out what we ask in the PIR so that we get the right feedback.
So we'd be bringing in some 28 questions, but not labelling it as a 28 PIR as such. Is that what you're saying?
Would definitely be bringing in questions about how do you account for investments between 20 and where you've got control. Actually, not how do you account for them, but what are your information needs around those investments. And so we would be scoping in some.
Would it include what is equity accounting?
I don't know if I, well, we could ask what, I personally think that some of the problem is that people, the equity accounting is kind of a solution looking for a problem, so it's applied in different circumstances. I think it would be better to ask what are your information needs than to say what is equity accounting, because I think that that's the second step.
Doug.
Thank you. I think it's a good idea, but what is the timeline? What kind of timeline do you have in your mind?
Well, it will depend when you start the post-implementation reviews of 10, 11 and 12.
Which we're planning to start towards the end of this year.
Right, right. The reason why I'm asking is post-implementation review of IFRS 13 is in the queue as well.
Yes.
Yes. So I would suggest to do it at the same time would be good one. I mean, there is a close interaction, close link between fair value measurement and equity accounting, because it's all about how we measure the equity investment. And there is a lot of issue about fair value measurement of unlisted equity investment. So it is closely related. And when we do the post-implementation of IFRS 10, we need to revisit what the investment entity is all about and what is the proper fair value measurement. So I would suggest to do it same time and bring it a little bit earlier together.
But I'm not so clear, you know, which aspects they're so closely.
I think the biggest problem of equity investment is when we can collect the cash. And when we can get the profit on the equity pickup, we can enjoy profit. However, in most cases, equity investment is unlisted equity investment, and there might be a majority of shareholders. And actually, they are not controlling their equity investment associates. Even though that associate gains a lot of profit, it is not really realistic that they can collect the cash. They recognize the profit. So then the question is, how can they measure such kind of equity investment? And we have other equity investment which is not associate. Then it will be measured fair value basis through IFRS 9. Then this problem itself is same. So it's unquoted equity investment. So you have to find out what's the true fair value is all about. And there are a variety of methods. But question is, when you collect the cash, and then there is some similarity. So therefore, I think it would be a good idea to do the PIR of IFRS 10, 11, 12, and the fair value measurement in relation to equity accounting.
Mary?
Broadly supportive of the staff recommendation in the paper, and thought it was actually a very good analysis pulling together a lot of different information streams that we've had running about this. Thinking about Sue's question and what we attached to the PIR of 10, 11, 12 in respect of IAS 28, I think the staff is right to say we're not adding a full-blown IAS 28 PIR to that. It both makes the PIR become truly enormous and I think is overkill to some extent, because we do have, we certainly have a knowledge of a number of practice issues. I'm not sure though that we can say, well, we know about the practice issues and it's only some of the bigger picture things, because I think what we probably need to do in preparation for that PIR is take the practice issues and map them maybe back to some of the questions at the bottom on paragraph 33, the bottom of page 12, top of page 13, that are the fundamental review questions. Because I think, you know, from my experience here at the board with the issues we've dealt with that have touched on 28, it kind of your answer to the specific question you're asked depends upon how you're thinking about some of these fundamental questions. And that may be why some of the amendments don't hold together so well. So I think what I'm thinking about is saying, if these are the application issues we have, could we answer this whole batch if we had a clear statement about whether it's one-line consolidation and therefore you are in effect viewing associates almost as part of the group, or, you know, or not? And does that give answer to not only the batch that we've been asked, but also other ones? So I think in preparation for what IAS 28 questions do we want to add on, I'd suggest taking the known practice issues and trying to say, is there a root cause, and make sure we ask questions to get views on those root causes. I think it would come out of some of the things you're talking about. You know, what information do investors need, and what is the purpose of applying this? But I think it would be good to strike the balance, and I think this is what the staff is recommending, between a full-blown, let's call everything into question, PIR of IAS 28, kind of bring out your dead, and you know, a more focused one. But let's relate the practice issues, because we know what the population is that we have now. But as soon as you pull on one end of the piece of string, something else seems to come out.
Thank you. I also support the staff's recommendations. I think that this realistically kicks the can down the road at least a couple of years. even assuming, you know, we draw conclusions out of the PIRs, we should do something. But in the PIRs, I would suggest we focus, to the extent equity method is considered in it, I would suggest focus solely on the scope of the equity method, joint operations, joint ventures. You know, out of the items in paragraph 33, I would just sort of keep it into what is significant influence mean. You would think anything were joint operations ventures, there is significant influence, but perhaps do you really have significant influence at 21%? I don't know. You know, with, but the rest, of, but I would be honest with you, if we were not doing the PIRs on these things, I'm more where the FASB is just to probably to kill the project. Because the application issues have been around for 50 years. It's upstream and downstream, and it changes in changes in relative equity position. I mean, there's nothing new in it. For better or worse, with warts and everything else, the world knows how to deal with that stuff. And really, whether it's a one-line consolidation or a measurement, the reality is I don't think most people care. I mean, maybe, you know, this organization you do, or the FASB you do, but they know how to operationalize standard. And I think the information needs, and Tak was right, you sort of know what the income pickup is, it's the cash, you know, or the dividends, but the information needs think that are there go beyond that. It's, you know, what sort of, you know, if who has control of the board, or who can appoint board positions or executive officers, you know, what's the related party transactions that, you know, that you're buying and selling, you know, it. That's the information that people need to know. I don't think it's mostly technical, mechanical stuff about, you know, do I eliminate 100% of the gain or only the retained interest part of the gain and so on. I think those just aren't that important in the realm of things.
Thank you. I agree with the members. This is a well-written, well-analyzed paper on equity accounting, especially you are updating FASB's activities. So they are very informative to us to think about this issue. So thank you for that. However, we need to save our stakeholders' resources to even though we include this as part of PIR, because as many board members already said, all issues, the challenges, we already know very well of those issues. So if we repeat such kind of thing in the PIR, our stakeholders are wasting too much time. You know, their time is very precious. So we should have a kind of different format on this kind of equity account issues from their typical PIR of IFRS 10. That's what I'm suggesting.
Can I ask, Chung Wu, can I ask you a question? When you say we should have a different format, are you saying you agree not to do a separate PIR of 28? But, and I could interpret that as don't do a separate PIR of 28, but do something like the staff is proposing, which is attach some 28 questions to the
yes.
PIR of 10,
yes.
11,
12. Letter, I would like okay. to say, but this is for convenience, our stakeholders.
Yeah.
Including that with okay. the PIR, but this is a very different. That's what the mic is saying. You said already, every issue we know, you know, very well.
I have only a question because, I mean, in the past we had a lot of interpretation committee issues with equity accounting, and question is if we defer that until, I don't know, how do we deal with additional issues then? Because in the past we have said for a lot of these issues, okay, we have this on the research agenda and therefore we cannot address that. We will address these points when we dealing with that equity accounting. But if we defer it further, I think that is not solving really the interpretation committee issues. And I think that is what we should, if we decide to think about, okay, how we deal with this kind of stuff, do we then go back and say, okay, maybe we address some of this in the narrow scope, or how should we do that? Because I heard, at least in from my home country, okay, that people are not happy with this kind of what we are doing then. They understand if it is on research agenda, I'm not addressing that, but if we now defer it further, man, it is not a sufficient situation now addressing implementation issues.
Michael?
I I think what you describe is, for me, I would say, is a principally a question of timing. You know, I do think that the better approach to the equity accounting issues is a broader scope look at it, rather than to try to do more narrow scope amendments. So the question then is, when do we do that? That for me is the key question.
Can I jump in? So I think the challenge we've had, Martin, is we've tried to deal with things on a timely basis, and it's ended up being a whole tangle and embarrassingly where we issued stuff and even then had to pull it back. And I think we want to avoid more of that.
And I think it's clear from the response that we got in the agenda consultation that, well, the feedback to the proposals we put to ASAF and what the FASB got, that answering some of those questions is going to be difficult, and we're not going to be able to address them with a short-term project. And I take the point that we shouldn't defer things indefinitely, but I think we need to get some more feedback on information needs before we can then look at the equity method itself and answer those questions on much more solid foundations.
But I think to solve that, for me, the key question is it an evaluation method or is it in kind of online consolidation method? And I personally believe, I think it is not so difficult to answer, because it depends on the situation. I really believe that. If it's kind of more of a financial investment, I think it is a kind of valuation method. If it's part of your operation, of your business, it is a one-time consolidation, a one-line consolidation.
I think actually it's both of those things in different circumstances.
That is what I said.
And that's what we need to do.
That is what I said. And then if we can address that, and I think we have to address that, or answer that kind of question, because otherwise we will not...
That's what they're
and that's what we're saying, because I think what we're saying is if we've got a better understanding of information needs, we can then say which equity method. Is it a one-line consolidation, and this is how you do a one-line consolidation in these circumstances, or is it a valuation methodology that approximates to fair value, and that's when you apply it in these circumstances? But I think we need a lot more solid foundation to make those kind of recommendations to the board, and then I think that'll be really quite significant changes, and it's not going to be simple to do.
I don't know. For me, it's easier because, I worked in a bank. So it's part of me growing our business with some equity at equity investments, which are also banks, because we wanted making business in this country. And clearly, for me, that is a kind of one-line consolidation because it's part of the business. Then we head through a kind of a default of a loan, we're getting some equity interest in a whatever kind of business.
Some casinos.
Casinos, for example, yeah? Does it make sense really regarding performance statement and everything if you consolidate a casino in a bank? Maybe not. But you know what I mean. And I really think...
Okay, that takes care of this issue. Stephen.
I agree with Martin. It's not necessarily his full quick analysis of the solution, but I agree with this is an area that we need to do something about. So my question is, how long is all this going to take? So if we do a PIR, and we then identify there are problems with equity accounting, and we need something along the lines of what Martin says, do we then go to a DP, and then an ED, and then a standard? And
well, I think that's
really
difficult
somebody
question.
Somebody said kicking the can down the road, and
I take the point about kicking the can down the road because the application issues are out there, but I just think, given everything we've seen, we're not going to solve this in the short term without some solid information. I think we have to do that as part of the PIR, as for the reasons Chung Wu said. So that's the first point in terms of timing. It depends when you do the PIR. You get the feedback from the PIR, and that's going to take you a few months. In terms of the analysis and a lot of the academic work, we've already done that. We did that before June 2015. So once we have a better understanding of the information needs, I think it would take us some months to decide what we would recommend to the board, given our better understanding. Whether that then decides you need a DP or an ED, I just don't think we can say at this point. That's not a very good answer to your question, by the way.
I think the problem is, and Martin and Michelle have touched on it, is that we use something that we label as the equity method in at least three different circumstances: associates, joint arrangements, and also separate financial statements. And you can't assume that the answer to the application problems will necessarily be the same in each of those circumstances. So I think you can't look at the application problems without looking at the context as well. I think the issue with IFRS 11 is that it's relatively new, and so we don't know what the unknown unknowns are yet. And so I would see waiting for the PIR primarily to tell us whether there are unknown unknowns. I wouldn't make it into a full-blown post-implementation review of IAS 28 at this stage, because I think that would make the PIR unmanageable. But it should be focusing on trying to pick up the new information that we don't yet know, given the wider application of the equity method. I think when we've done that, and one of the questions in here is, what does significant influence mean? I'm not convinced when we've done that broader review that we'd necessarily conclude that we even need to keep the notion of significant influence at all. And if we didn't feel it was useful, then there wouldn't be any point in playing around with it at the edges. On the timing, I don't think we necessarily need to wait for the end of the PIR of IFRS 11 before we move forward with this. I think we need to have enough comfort that we've detected the unknown unknowns. And once we've got that comfort, then we'd be ready to move forward if it makes sense in terms of the overall work plan at that point.
Okay. I don't think there is a... Is there a question? Yes, there is a question. Can we support the staff's recommendation? Which is kicking the can down the road, but not too far.
There's a problem definition, right?
Yeah. Which is what we're trying to get into a better habit of doing.
Thank you.